Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine Questions as of June 14th. We're publishing on June 17th. Send your questions to askcatherine@salary.com and subscribe or post at subscriber import. And thank you for your questions. Okay, so let's start with cash and precious metals and money. Question on creating a currency system outside of the bank digital system. Ellen Brown, who ran for treasurer in California, has been promoting the idea of a public bank for some time. This is the same as the Bank of North Dakota. Actually, it's not. So your question is, do you think we can create public banks in state, counties, or even cities as a counter to the proposed global digital currency? I think it's the opposite. Taxpayer banks, the Bank of North Dakota is a great idea because you're talking about creating a state bank that supports the private local credit unions or community banks that are, and you can help protect them against the Fed cycle if you do a state bank properly. If you do local banks with taxpayer funding, it is the road to tyranny. First of all, the last thing we need is more of the citizens' credit on the line. Central bankers have used our credit to basically steal trillions of dollars and bankrupt the country. So I don't think giving them more credit to play with is going to help. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I have to tell you the idea of local taxpayer-funded banks on a scale of 1 to 10 is a negative 50. It's one of the worst ideas I've ever sent or heard of. And the reason I am concerned about it, and I put a link to the ICBA, they're doing, the Independent Bankers Association is doing or Community Bankers Association is doing an editorial campaign against this idea because it's specifically designed, in my opinion, to provide the customer support on a CBDC on a way that is very tightly controlled, will help the top-down tyranny and basically wipe out the infrastructure of local community banks and credit unions, which is standing between us and the abyss. So I can't tell you what a dreadful idea I think this is. So I think, you know, support your local community banks and credit unions. Not to say they're all perfect, but that is an infrastructure that's providing credit to small business. You shut down that and put it under control of the top-down guys and you're toast. Makes me so angry. I get so frustrated. Oh, it's a helpful reform. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. Anyway, I get very frustrated, as you can tell. Mortgage question. This is a great question. I need some advice on a situation my wife and I are going through where we can't get a mortgage from my credit union because aside from my full-time job, I have a small business where I get paid as a 1099 and my credit union does not want to work with me because they use Fannie and Freddie and they do not help 1099 applicants. That tells you more because our credit is now being used to make sure that self-employed people can't get a mortgage. So what does that tell you about the war on small business? Unbelievable. If you knew how much of our resources Fannie and Freddie have stolen, I could go on forever. I mean, they don't even want to try. What is the best way to get a mortgage or pre-qualified if we don't have enough for a conventional loan? There's some options. Let me talk about the options. Now, some of these may not be available in your market or where you are or work for you, but whatever. I'm just going to go through some of the options. First of all, you want to find a bank or credit unions that holds mortgages on their balance sheet. They don't securitize them into Fannie and Freddie because those are the kind of institutions that are usually willing to work with you. Their only problem is you have the Fed, the regulators coming down and trying to engineer their criteria so they can't, you know, again, it's the war on small business. A bank or credit union that holds on their balance sheet may be able to do something with you and certainly could define for you what you need to do to get in a position to do this. The second thing is really consider, I want to say this to everybody, if you look at the corruption and the control in the home building and mortgage system, it is so much easier to learn how to build your own house, particularly if you're a young person. You know, I think for many of us who grew up in my generation, it's inconceivable and looks like an overwhelming task to learn how to build your own house. But if you go to YouTube University and look at all the people who figured out and learned how to do it, I had a cousin who they basically got a like an RV or a mobile home, put it on a beautiful piece of land that they got from their family. And over time, they built a unbelievable house. You know, both they were doing some of the certainly the design work and they were working with local contractors and it took time over time and they had to live in the small mobile home so they didn't waste any money on rent. But it worked, and now they have an absolutely gorgeous home on a gorgeous piece of property. So start thinking about do it yourself, because if you look at the corruption in the mortgage system and the financial system, it's just easier to do the whole thing yourself and go on a sort of cash basis. Another alternative is to find a local private lender. Lots of people are looking for yield. They can't find it. The way for them to get it is to do local mortgages. Often on many communities have sort of local mortgage lenders for situations like those. If you work with a local real estate broker, they may be able to help you find these options. Check out prosper.com. It's lending. It does home rehab or home equity lines. It doesn't do mortgages, but start checking out some of the online private ways of borrowing. Then another is to just save and be in a position to put down enough so that somebody will, in fact, do a mortgage for you, particularly somebody to hold it on their balance sheet. There's also seller financing, and there's also rent with an option to purchase. Now, in a hot market, as we're in now, that can, you know, some of these can be difficult. But I think if you are sincere and put out that intention and work with the local people, if you could find a bank or community bank or credit union that holds mortgages on their balance sheet, that's definitely the way to go. If I was with an institution that only did Fannie and Freddie, I'd ditch them, just to be blunt. Try some of those, send more questions, see if that helps. Hello, is there a list of investment recommendations or model portfolios for subscribers to follow? No, as a registered investment advisor, there are real conflicts of interest in me doing this in the Salary Report, so my attorney has absolutely said no. So the two people that I subscribe to that provide those are Lynn Alden, who I think does a very good job, but it's not screened. She buys stocks I wouldn't touch because she's not doing the ESG screening, which I'm doing in my investment advisory company, but I'm only doing it for an asset manager. It's not published. And then Rambus, Lynn is more of a buy and hold investor. Rambus is more of a trader, but Rambus Chartology, who we use in our equity overview quarterly, also does sort of, and it's more short-term trading. So Lynn Alden, more buy and hold Rambus. But again, they don't screen. Now, the reality is you can screen. You can look at a company and say, okay, well, maybe some companies are criminal enterprise, and most people have a pretty good sense of whether a company is doing a basically fundamentally productive. So most people can screen most things for themselves. You know, the advantage I have is I just have decades of dealing with financial fraud and covert operations. So I have a lot of covert knowledge, which is useful. Anyway, but if you're looking for somebody, those are the two that I know of, but I would be very careful. One of the reasons I wouldn't do this, even if my attorney would let me, I'd do more of it. But I really think that everybody's different. My 10 years as an investment advisor taught me that different people with different fact patterns generated wildly different recommendations. And I'm not a great believer in model standardized recommendations, one size fit all. I don't believe it. Next question. Dear Catherine, can you recommend some investment that gives secondary income without supporting the horrible system? Here's the thing. There are options, but you need to take the time. There's a difference between, and I know you know this because you're a chiropractor, there's a difference between a good chiropractor and a bad chiropractor. And even somebody who doesn't know a lot about healthcare and medicine has to be willing to take the time to do the due diligence to make sure that when they go to the chiropractor, they're going to a good one and not a bad one. And it's the same with money. You're going to have to pay attention. Paying attention and investing time and doing this properly will give you a good result, and trying to do it too fast and not thinking about it will give you a very bad result. So you're going to have to take time. If you have a good local bank or credit union, which you really deserve, the first thing you need to do is get one if you don't have it. Talk to them about local loan opportunities or investments. One of the things I always recommend is refinancing trustworthy family and friends out of their bank mortgages. I always tell the story about one guy I told to do that. He had five kids and he refinanced a bunch of them out, and he got a steady income, and he missed the big stock market up, but he wasn't, he said, I sleep at night. Earlier on, I talked about the guy who couldn't get a loan. He's a local opportunity for somebody. A lot of neighborhoods have food co-ops who generally have, you know, standard borrowing practices. So if there's a local food co-op, I check. With some of my investment advisory clients, I would find that the local economic developments gave a decent yield and were well managed. The other thing is a screened equity portfolio, either hedged or unhedged, is should work for you, but it's not, you know, the income is going to be capital gains and yield. And what I would do is I would manage it for total economic return and then do what the foundations do. You just take 4% a year, and some of it's going to come from income and some's going to come from capital gains. Now, if it's hedged, you're going to make less over time, but you're going to avoid the big downs, which will make you feel better. It's your call. COVID-19, somebody sent a directory of doctors prescribing outpatient COVID-19 therapy. In the new subscriber input, there's one forum where we're posting, you know, where to find saliva tests and doctors who can get you ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, etc. And the institutional pressure to deny these therapies is very significant. Then somebody sent links, including a link to American's Frontline Doctor, fabulous site. The Frontline Doctors are doing an excellent job. Great site. It's Dr. Simone Gold, who's both an attorney and a doctor, and she's teaming up with some of the best attorneys in the U.S. to file lawsuits, and very, very good. The other one I want to recommend strongly is Doctors for COVID Ethics, Dr. Bakhti and Dr. Yaden. Frontline Doctors and Doctors for COVID Ethics are two of the best websites, along with the ones we recommended in Injection Fraud, Swiss Policy Research, Children's Health Defense, and Mercola. Really, really recommend it. Somebody sent in the link about the Maine Walgreens giving improperly diluted doses and said, I think your hunch about two different vaccines that are deployed according to socioeconomic status may be accurate. There's some wide discrepancy going on because we're seeing very wide discrepancies in adverse event experience between wealthy places and poor places. And I just, you know, it's very complicated. It's very spotty. And there's no way to pull together the data that you need. If you look at the adverse event reporting, it's everything is being done to prevent adverse reporting and reliable adverse event reporting. So there's a great Brett Weinstein interview. Brett Weinstein and his wife were heroes of the year. I'm sorry, of the week, I don't know, several months ago. They basically got booted out of Evergreen College, which is the best thing in the world to happen for the human race, because now they're doing great interviews. His was recommended strongly by Dr. Meryl Nass, who's one of the best sources I find and is very liberal about recommending other people she thinks are good. Apparently, Mickey Willis, who did Plandemic, is going to, I'm hoping we'll edit this interview because it's very long, but I watched an excerpt. And apparently, it looks like one of the reasons for the 70% by July 4th U.S. political goal may be because we can expect an explosion of cancer after 6 months from the beginning of this. So we'll see. And interestingly enough, one of the subscribers wrote in and said, three friends in my immediate sphere have all received advanced stage cancer diagnosis within weeks of receiving the experimental injections. So I would really appreciate if you're seeing an explosion of cancer or other serious chronic diseases after the injections, I would really appreciate your reporting it. And I really want to give a nod to Dr. Nass because she's done amazing things for years. And she's from Maine. I just saw an autopsy analysis of a patient who died from an adverse event from the vaccination and then was engineered and converted to a COVID death. It was unbelievably ugly business. And I have to say, basically looking at the anecdotal patterns and articles coming out of India, it looks to me like we have an epidemic of death from vaccination and starvation from the lockdown restrictions that is fraudulently being attributed to COVID-19 and quote-unquote new variants. So beware. Somebody sent in some ideas for how to protect ourselves. I put it in the show notes, but all I can say is keep building your immune system and detoxing. I want to point out, during the litigation, we created something called the Solari Beauty Tool. I can't find the old one, but it's on my list to do a new one. And what it was, we made a list of everything that gave us energy, that we loved, that was joyful, that gave us joy, that didn't cost a lot of money. So it had to give us joy, and it had to be highly economic, like, you know, lighting candles and having candles in the office when things were particularly brutal, and certain kinds of music, etc. So I would make, you know, think about doing this. Think about making a beauty tool that lists out all these things that give you joy that aren't expensive. And systematically, every day, every week, build in time to replenish your joy stockpiles in your spiritual warehouse. Because, you know, the nothing, as I'm referring to the Never-Ending Story movie, the nothing is on the march, and its goal is to suck you dry of meaning and joy. So you need to systematically rebuild your joy stockpiles, and that's critical if you want to stay healthy. Dear Catherine, I just watched a video, Magnetism Intentionally Added to Vaccination. Yeah, so this is the whole magnetism. If you haven't read David O'Hagan's new article called Iron, I would really recommend it. Then they wanted to know if the Red Pill Expo video is available. I gave a short speech at the Red Pill Expo. I'm assuming Griffin will sell the package, but I don't know what the plans are to make it accessible. I'm assuming he's going to sell the package. Feedback. This is on the Dr. Tenpenny interview, and there's a lot of discussion at the commentary. I finally last week took it subscriber only. It was public for the first couple of weeks, and I took it private because we got a complaint from a public viewer that you couldn't comment. Now, the only way you can comment on the Solari Report website is subscribers can comment. So I thought, okay, we'll take it private so that the people who watch it are free to comment. Dr. Tenpenny made a comment about homosexuality at the end that was controversial, and there was a big discussion. And a lovely subscriber made a funny comment, and I said laughing out loud at her funny comment. Somehow it got posted at her first comment. She misunderstood. So I went through it all. But anyway, so there was a discussion. Here's what she wrote. This new feedback. It's been a long time since I've emailed you. So much to read, so much to ponder, so much store, so little time. Yep, that's our situation. I want to thank you for the Dr. Tenpenny interview and the way you tried to tactfully address the totally off-the-subject comments that followed the interview. Your interview with Dr. Tenpenny was very good, informative, timely, thought-provoking. I was going to post a comment under the interview, but was advised not to write just what I wanted. So I decided to write you personally, hoping not to feed the mind control bewitchment spell being performed. Of those who commented, only one of those names looked familiar. I guess Solari has its infiltrators waiting for the moment to pounce. My guess is that most of the people, or all of the people who posted, were not infiltrators, but they're people who haven't thought through the issues that I was discussing, and I'll discuss in a second. You know, so they're falling into the trap, but I think it's probably an authentic fall into the trap. It is interesting how Mr. Global used one of Dr. Tenpenny's comments to muck up and pull attention away from her life-saving information. I thought of my overwhelming anger when active in the pro-life movement. I kept saying, but they're killing babies, while people promoted a woman's right. Dr. Tenpenny seems to be saying, but they are torturing, killing us, yet people are still thinking of sexuality interests, issues. Thank you, Catherine, for posting it. Even though I may have appeared off at first, I think this needed to happen now. For those who can see to know the insidiousness of those evil spirits in high places and how they easily manipulate. Some of the scriptures Tenpenny mentioned are ones we say in our Giza prayer group prayers every day at 9 a.m. wherever we are in our time zone around the world. You know, the Lord is our only hope, which I agree with. One of my favorite preachers says that the Lord built wisdom into the software of the universe, and into the fabric of the universe. And I believe that. And that wisdom can properly access, can be the basis of extraordinary power. Anyway, so on the specifics, and I would invite you to go read the commentary or the comments of the commentary, but I describe this in much more detail. My interest and focus is on things that impact all of us. And what I believe is that if we can fix the things that impact all of us, like the quality of the governance system, then all of the different issues that are harming different individual groups or preferences or whatever will get sorted out. And so the way to fix things is not to address what I consider to be symptoms. It is to address the fundamental harm that's being done that harms everyone. And so I focus on the missing money. I focus on the fundamental violations of law and human rights. And they're all things that impact everybody, because that's where I can have the highest and best use. I'm not saying that the other issues aren't important. It's just I don't have enough bandwidth. So I like to focus on things that impact everybody. And, you know, so the missing money, they've stolen hundreds of thousands of dollars per person. That's what I care about. And that turning that around and turning around the governance system would, I just think it would take care of the rest of these things. So, and what Mr. Global does is use all these different sort of divide, and, you know, they use it to create, this is my issue versus your issue versus your issue. And they create lots of divide and conquer, but they try and build up all these fur balls around these different things. This happens to be one. Homosexuality happens to be one that they tried to engage me in fur balls for more than a decade. I can't tell you how hard they tried. And if you listen to Deep State Tactics, you'll hear about, you know, that and other fur balls they tried to get me involved in. But it taught me a lot about how they use sexuality to create fur balls, and they use all sorts of sexuality to create fur balls. And sex addiction and sex sort of carrots and sticks are big, big, big. Anyway, if you're interested, listen to Deep State Tactics, but I have no bandwidth for furballs, so I'm not going there. And if it's going to play, you know, if they're going to play a public game about it, then I'll take it private, because we just need to focus. We need to focus on protecting people from tyranny, and that's what I do. I'm not here to help tyranny. Then somebody had a question about the, or a comment on the QRS, that's the Quantron Resonance System, which is a pad made by a German company that you can look it up on the either the blog, I've written about it before, you can on the website, or you can just do a search for Quantron Resonance System or QRS. So they said, we bought this and it's amazing. I have no idea how to describe it to people. Any ideas? Not really. I mean, I would use whatever they have on the website. I tried it because it was given to me as a gift. And essentially when I got it, my metabolism had shut down, and it was very helpful in helping me bring back my metabolism. So it worked for me just because I tried it, and I based it on the instructions of the people who gave it to me. Were very, very generous. It was a wonderful gift. Anyway, one of the distributors put together a whole package of information about it, which I read, which was kind of useful, but I really find that everybody's different, and some things work for some people and not for others. So I'm always loath to recommend these things because I can say it works for me, but I really don't know that it'll work for you. If you want to listen to the Dirty Electricity Salieri Report in the library, Sam Milham, who really feels using electricity and electronics in this way is very bad for our health. And I think he's negative on the Ion Cleanse machine, which I use, and I would expect he'd be very negative on the QRS. I don't remember if we discussed it, but, you know, there are arguments on both sides of this. Now, I use it because if I have to spend too much time on a computer, and when I use the QRS, I just go lie on it and I do a session, and it really feels to me like it rebalances my electromagnetic field and my coherence increases. So, but again, that's me. So I don't know any other way to do this but research and study what lots of people say and what's on the website, and then you just got to try it, and which is hard because it's expensive. It's interesting. Somebody, I have a wonderful subscriber, who sent me a different kind of pad like this, but made by somebody else in the United States, a different kind of system. And I kept trying it, and it just, you know, they absolutely loved it, much more than the QRS, but it, for some reason, I could never get it to work for me, but they absolutely loved it and swear by it. So there are multiple types of these things. Question on Cyber Polygon. As the Cyber Polygon exercise on July 9th approaches, does Salieri have any contingency plans on how we will be able to keep informed and in touch if the electric grid collapses and the internet is down? So we've talked about how to do this if the phone system is still operating. Shortwave is not going to do it. Not enough people on shortwave. I personally don't worry about this one. I think the grid going down could be a space weather kind of issue, at which point, you know, we're going to have much bigger problems than just we can't access the internet. The reality is, with the exception of space weather, what tyranny wants is the smart grid. And they're going to use stuff like this to scare people into pouring more taxpayer money into a electrical control grid that will allow them to put all retail transactions and cars on an all electrical system that will be used for complete control. So I just think this is more yakety yakety yak to use our money to get complete control. I think that's the reason for the climate change op, in addition to basically reducing everybody to poverty and giving complete control. Part of it is to get that electrical grid and to do it with our money. I think the chances of a widespread shutdown being engineered by the tyrannical guys is relatively small. If anything, that would help us tremendously. So, you know, they're out to build an electrical control grid. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons I say in a million years, I'd never get an electrical car. So then somebody said, if all organic people can make their own organic country, how to convince people to make a right choice? Creator, help us. This gets into the question of whether the mRNA vaccinations or injections can turn people into a GMO for legal reasons, whether of ownership or travel boundaries, etc. It's all very gruesome topic. Anyway, so I would say, from a marketing standpoint, the best marketing techniques I know are prayer and success at doing it yourself. So if the people doing it are looking like they're happy and having fun and being successful, more people will join them. If they all look angry and mad and screaming about, you know, we're being poisoned, then nobody wants to join them. Subject, getting things done. I hope this is the correct channel for the Ask Catherine Weekly segment. You get a tremendous amount of things done, from the beautiful wrap-ups to the weekly segments, research, and God knows what else. What are some basic principles to being productive? So I would say that we could be much more productive than we are, so I'm always trying to improve my productivity. The hard part of being productive in this environment, you're constantly being hiccuped, whether it's by sabotage or the fact that all sorts of systems around you are imploding. I think the most important thing is to associate with competent and ethical people. You know, and pick your focus. So just like I said, I don't have bandwidth for the divide and conquer issues and furballs. I just focus on things, you know, things that are illegal and unethical or unproductive that are done to all of us and that affect everybody. I find we're working with highly unreliable systems. I won't bore you with, I could write a whole book about all the sabotage we deal with in the mailing systems. And it creates a lot of work. And what I find is it's really, really important to have a team of people who can stay in a state of amusement and just turtle through it. I have a little post that I'm constantly republishing called Turtle Forth. And I think the trick to turtling is to just stay in a state of amusement and never, ever, ever quit. So again, one movie in this context that really helps is a couple movies. One is The Never-Ending Story, but another is Monsters, Inc. Don't let the monster scare you. Hi, Catherine. You often emphasize the importance of knowing who's your banker, who's your farmer, who's your sheriff, and where's your money. I've been in the process of repositioning myself for the last 7 years. So this is a longer description, but you are doing a great job. I just have to compliment you. If you have time, go into Ask Catherine and read everything this person's doing. I just love what you're up to. It's so wow. Wow. Congratulations. So then you say, my question for you in struggle is with the whole who's your sheriff pillar. Now, that's because you're in Canada, so you got an entirely different system. So everything I would say about who's your sheriff in the U.S. doesn't apply to you. Can you please explain more on this? To what extent do I need to form a relationship? Okay, so I won't read the whole thing. But I don't know the Canadian system well enough. So, and particularly because you're in the Commonwealth, I think it's a little bit trickier. I think your discretion and your care is very well advised and speaks very well of you. So the first thing I would do if I were you is I just research and study how the Canadian enforcement system works as a sort of how does the law work? And I would look at the governing documents for both the country and the and your territory, you know, so if you're in Ontario or British Columbia, you know, so I'd look at it at the regional level. Then I'd look at the budgets, where the money goes for police, fire, and other forms of sort of risk management and enforcement and the court system. So, you know, I would just educate yourself about enforcement in your country, your territory, and your local area works, both as a legal and financial matter. Then what I would do is I would find examples of where other people have successfully engaged in supporting their local enforcement, you know, success stories, where it contributes to the rule of law. And ideally, it's people, citizens who are doing positive things to help local enforcement, and that helps local enforcement keep positive. So I always believe the best way to get intelligence is pray. So pray for answers for productive engagement to emerge. Don't be afraid of doing nothing until you're sure. So you can always find something to do with your time that's productive. So I would just study, research, pray, and see if you can get good intelligence. But you are very correct that doing unproductive engagement could increase your risk. So do not feel like doing nothing is a mistake. It's not. You want to maximize your productivity. And until you know what to do, do no harm. Anyway, you're doing a great job. I'm impressed. Hi, Catherine. I just started pursuing the links you provided from Today's Money and Markets. All of them are blocked. This was a comment. Somebody was having trouble getting the Money and Markets link. I sent it to support who believes the problem was not the website. It was something on your end. And they've communicated with you and you've got it fixed. So we find 9 times out of 10 the problems people are happening are their problem, or if you've tried logging in too many times, the website might freeze you out for a short period of time. So just take a break and then come back if you get a defender comment. Hello, Catherine. Once again, I cannot thank you enough for being the only person I've encountered that speaks the truth unfiltered. So there are a lot of good people who do. There are plenty of people. And one of the reasons we have heroes on the Solari Report, and one of the reasons we, you know, highlight certain guests, is there really are great people who are doing their best to get you the truth. And I just mentioned some of them on the doctors and scientists, but there are plenty of people and all. It's not just me. And I'm doing everything I can to sort of network with them, support them, and engage with them, because I think that's, we're going to get things done together. I wanted to ask you a couple questions. The more I read and listen to you and some other sources while using my own logic, the more this whole story seems like a big social experiment among everything else. As both you and John have pointed out, this is all very thinly disguised. Also, the fact they seem to selectively allow opposition, e.g. Dr. Mercola. Yes, they do allow opposition. They're constantly looking at what people like Mercola or I are saying and who's listening and then trying to counter it. If they just kill everybody off immediately, then the herd would stampede against them. So what they're trying to do is not stampede the herd against them, but sort of see what works in terms of telling people the truth and then see what they can do selectively to buy people out of the truth. You know, it's constant and all over the map. One, sometimes they don't decide they can buy people out of the truth. So if you see the killing sprees of people who've worked around the Clintons or people who've worked around the Bushes, or, you know, you get these death lists or natural doctors or microbiologists, you have all these sort of places where they just go in and start killing. And it's one of the reasons why so many people are so careful and afraid, because there's been if you look at the number of deaths, it's much greater than you think. I heard another member asking for car advice, and you mentioned buying a pre-2012 car, but I wasn't clear why. I would assume that modern cars are just mobile surveillance devices these days. I was looking to buy a new electric car and was thrilled about the new technology after test driving a Tesla, but I suppose it's one of those modern perks where there is a catch. So I think of cars as on their way to being mobile surveillance and mind control devices. I also don't like the idea of having something that has so much digital stuff in it that I have to take it to the dealer and they control repairing it. I can't take it to a local guy to repair it. But the other thing is, I think they're planning on using it for spatial control. So your car won't work except within 5 miles of your house if it's electrical. It's part of this electrical control grid. So if I could afford a Tesla, I'd get an old car in great shape. I'd find a local mechanic to refurbish and anything I could do to get zero or as little digital as possible. You couldn't get me to buy an electrical car if you paid me. Have you ever been afraid for your safety doing what you do and shedding light to these evil plans? So if you haven't listened to Deep State Tactics, I go through all of that in great detail there. You can also, if you see the my personal history on the missing money, it's at hudmissingmoney.solari.com. It's my personal history of dealing with the missing money. So I've been afraid for my safety thousands and thousands of time. Remember, fear is a very good navigation tool. So, fear is you telling yourself, hey, you need to pay attention, you need to think. So, and that was especially during the litigation when I ran into the most problems. But, I've run into problems constantly since I decided to do what I do. As to what's happening currently, I'm not going to answer for security reasons, so I hope you understand. But I've always found the most effective approach is to deal with these by myself as quietly as possible and involve as few people as possible in the risk management of them, unless it makes dealing with a very specific situation noticeably more effective for me and Solari and our subscribers. For somebody who does what I do, it's like the rain. You put up your umbrella, you keep on walking, you ignore the thunder, and you lean into the wind. And if you get hit by lightning, it is what it is. No sense worrying about it before it happens. The biggest waste of your time is fretting about what might happen. So you can't do that. And it makes you're much more effective dealing with it if you can be conscious, but not in a state of perpetual fear, which is very bad for your health. Hello, Catherine and all. Thought this story might be interesting. This is the two rural counties in Nevada who've become constitutional counties. And it's a reminder that Sheriff Mack is doing a great job. He's somebody I recommend supporting. Catherine, why do you think the weather can be controlled? So if you haven't, Dr. Skidmore published, and I think it's on our website, you can do a search, a collection of, he did a great survey of all the sort of written academic material on weather modification. If you haven't watched the Lyndon Johnson explaining in the 60s that he who controlled the weather controlled the world, I would strongly recommend it. It's very compelling. But the Beijing, during the Olympics, the Beijing announced that there would be no bad weather. And they officially have an Office of Weather Modification. They're much more honest about what they're really doing. But there is, whether it's through weather modification or other things, that the effort to centralize control of farmland and food systems is clearly obvious for many, many other reasons. But do I think they control the weather? Yes. I think there's a great deal of weather modification going on. Does someone want regime change in Pakistan? Somebody sent in the link of Pakistan said they'd turn off your SIM card if you didn't get vaccinated. I suspect this is just an early prototype. They did it in Pakistan because they don't want to spook anybody in the G7 nations. But so it's an early trial balloon to see how people behave and how they're going to handle it. But they're going to play this game eventually here. So that's why I'm telling you, we either stop the passports and we stop this whole business, or this is where it's going to go. Hi, Catherine. I've seen or heard subscribers talk about getting into small scale farming, and then you describe what you do. I really suggest everybody read this. You guys are doing a great job, another great job. So you've been figuring out how to pick up pieces of land around you that you can farm, including for other people. This is great. Anyway, so I've sent this to Pete Kennedy because I would like to, if he's willing to follow up, that's something I would like to do. I think this is a great case study for people to hear. So let me see what I can do. Anyway, thank you for posting. Catherine, I recall you had mentioned that there's a correlation with pandemics every 100 years and changes in the monetary system to go along with it. Okay, so this came up, and go look at my book review of Michael Pye's The Edge of the World. And he described this pattern, and I would love to see some serious research in this area. It's funny. If I was still a multimillionaire, I would pay somebody a lot of money to go research this. But this is a great potential doctoral thesis for anybody in economics or history. And I would love to see that. Anyway, whatever you learn, if you dive into it, please post and let us know. Catherine, I would value hearing your thoughts on Deagle. Now, this is something I responded to last week, and somehow it got in here again this week, and I'm not sure if it's a different question or not. As I said last week, Deagle looks like, you know, sort of what might happen if you had a shock collapse of the dollar. But if you wanted to be a tough guy when you, you know, right now it looks like they're transferring the dollar to a global governance structure. They're transferring the military, they're transferring the treasuries to the central bank, they're doing a global taxation system. So it looks to me like they're globalizing everything. And, you know, if they wanted to be tough guys to the general population, yeah, it could look like this, although in a managed situation, not necessarily that bad, unless you use depopulation, as some people say they are doing with the injections. But I just think it's too experimental and too early to tell. Is Deagle one possible scenario? Yes. Is it an accurate prophecy? No. So we need to be willing for many different scenarios. And remember, things could work out if enough people are willing to insist and lead towards a human civilization. So Deagle is one possible scenario if you had a shock collapse of the dollar. And it's interesting, as I described last week, if you look at the Deagle scenario, this is the scenario that inspired me to keep yapping about the missing money. Because if you don't do any, if you did something about the missing money, you could avoid this scenario. If you don't do anything about the missing money, it gives the people who stole the money the ability to do this scenario. So this is why I'm yapping about the missing money. And apparently Deagle gets people much more galvanized than me yapping about the missing money. Local gatherings. I just want to point out, we're bringing up connect.solari.com to support Solari circles, small groups of people in their local area. It'll help you organize by place. We've been training people to do gathering, but with the COVID-19 restrictions, they wanted online social media support. So this is an open source social media software package. And we're slowly bringing in the people who've been working on the local gatherings. And now we're bringing people who are active at subscriber input. But we hope to take this public later in July, so that not public, but open to all the subscribers. You have to be a subscriber to participate. Some more recommended links came in that are going to be in the script. Catherine, have you heard of a TV show called Manifest? There's a high-level government operative whose name is Catherine Fitz, spelled very different than mine. What do you think? So this kind of thing, this could be a coincidence or not, but it happens to me all the time. There was one book in the 1990s that was clearly professionally written on order of the intelligence agencies. And it was like somebody took a box of thousands of pages of my emails during the litigation and said, you know, make a book out of this. It was unbelievable. There are thousands of references to my life at that time. It was extraordinary. And I just learned how these guys kind of, play the game, the arbitrage between fact and fiction. It's extraordinary. Take action. Somebody sent a link about the California water crisis. If this is true, at some point we need to start doing something to reclaim our local government and states. Well, actually, that was true in 1991 when I started working on reclaiming our local government and states. But one of the things I will say is better late than never. So have at it. Yes, we have to take back our local governments and states, and it would be great if we could take back our federal governments too. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for Ask Catherine. Send your questions to askcatherine@solari.com or subscriber input. And again, as I say every week, thank you so much for your questions. You have a great week.